We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast, along with Scott Wilkie. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Normally have Neil Welk. We got somebody that's twice as smart and twice as big as Neil this week. My partner on the radio broadcast and Colorado Basketball Network, Scott Wilkie. Buffaloes fall on Wednesday night against Southern Cal. They're sitting at 10-7 of the season, 2-3 in Pac-12 conference play. First off, we'll glance back to last week, Scott. The great victories. They were number 4 Arizona State, number 14 Arizona. And I think you and I, not only happy for the Buffaloes, but we were a little surprised how quickly they turned things from that opening weekend with the two losses on the road against Oregon.
Yeah, we talked a lot about after we left Corvallis how that was one of the low points of Coach Boyle era, I think, and the players were down. We were down as we come back from Oregon, and they went from really a low point to one of the highest in the history of Colorado basketball, and to knock off two top 15 teams back-to-back and really perform beyond expectations. I thought it was excellent.
Well, the Buffaloes kind of showed us. You and I drunk the Kool-Aid, if you will, early in the season. We think this is a talented team. Then they had a bad month of December. They went 2-6. I think there were some growing pains in there. But Tad Boyle has said it. When they're very good, they're very good. When they're very bad, they can be very bad, too. I think maybe this team's got to kind of find a little middle ground there, I think, a little bit.
Well, you always talk about freshmen and their inconsistencies and young players and how they have to learn to be more consistent. And, you know, it's kind of typical and cliched, but it's very true. And the couple of things that are bad that have stuck with them, not playing well on the road and turnovers. And those are the things that they're going to have to get past if they want to beat good teams. And every Pac-12 team you can say is decent and a pretty good team. And winning on the road is not easy. And it's not going to happen until they take care of the ball and they bring their A game on the road, which they haven't been able to do for a full 40 minutes.
The turnover thing became a problem on Wednesday when they got beat by Southern Cal. 22 turnovers. During the broadcast, you and I looked this up. They have turned the ball over 15 or more times, 10 times a season. 3 times has been over 20. You can't win in this league playing the level of competition. Even the bad teams are good. Let's be honest about it. And this is something they got to figure out. I think the frustrating part for Tad Boyle is a lot of these turnovers we're talking about are unforced turnovers, and that's what's killing this team.
Yeah, in tennis they call them unforced errors, where you create a mistake on your own without the defense. The defense is going to create some turnovers, you know, especially a team like USC with their athleticism and the way they shoot the gaps and everything. But when you lose it on your own, that's what really kills you. And you're out of position. You don't get rotations back. So runouts and layups and dunks. And it's really unfortunate because the energy was there, I thought, against USC. And better than they've been on the road in that respect. But you can't turn the ball over that well. That many times against a good team on their floor and expect to have a chance to win.
So what are we talking about here? It's not a physical thing. Is it a lack of concentration, a lack of understanding? What are we looking at here?
Well, it's a combination of things because they're not all the same kinds of turnovers, but I think a lack of focus is certainly a part of it. And not paying attention maybe to the scouting report. You have to talk about, you know, what type of defense team USC is. They shoot the gaps. They take chances. They get themselves out of position because they are very athletic. You have to use ball fakes. You have to use shot fakes. You cannot just turn and throw a cross-court pass. We saw in that game three or four times and led to dunks on the other end. So you have to play the scouting report and do the things that they do, use it against them, you know, get themselves out of position.
Let's play I Didn't See This Coming, both positively and negatively. What's one thing the Buffaloes are doing that is a positive surprise to you and one thing that's a negative surprise to you with this team?
Well, being that they're outsized a lot now without Torrey Miller and they're really playing small at four position, they're still out-rebounding teams, which is a surprise. They out-rebounded Arizona and they out-rebounded USC. The thing that I'm surprised at is the outside shooting has been so inconsistent. When, you know, at times they're really bad out there. Tonight, or at USC, they shot the ball pretty well. But I thought they had enough shooters with George King, with De'Leon Brown, and with Dominic Collier. They had experienced shooters, but they've been really up and down. And you got to knock down 7, 8, 9 threes to win ball games.
17 games in. He's the reigning Pac-12 Conference Player of the Week. Speaking of McKinley Wright, give me your assessment of him so far through 17 games.
Well, I'm a teacher. If I'm giving him a grade, I'm giving him an A-. And the only reason it's not a straight A is he's had a little turnover issue himself, which, you know, is expected. A guy's dominating the ball a lot. He's a freshman. But that's the next step for him, I think, is getting those turnovers down to 3 or 2 and still having the production with the assists and the points. So he's an amazing rebounder. You know, I love his fight, his toughness, and it's also his clutch ability where he hits shots in key moments. So everything is good except turnovers are an issue at times.
The game on Wednesday, that might have been George King's best game we've seen him really play in a while. He had 21 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had a couple of block shots in that ball game. The Buffs need him to continue to elevate his game as the season goes on.
Yeah, we talk about it before every game when we talk about keys is George has to play well. It's a lot on his shoulders, let's be honest. You know, there's a young team. He's the fifth-year senior. We expect a lot of him, and the team needs him to be productive. He doesn't have to get 21 and 9 or 10, but he has to get 15, 16, 17. He has to fly around like you see him flying around on Wednesday night against USC, offensive rebounds, blocking shots. When he's moving his body like that and being a factor physically – He can help them win without scoring 20 points.
You were a big man when you played. I want to get your take on the two big guys who have been really forced into this thing a little quicker than maybe we expected. First, Dallas Walton, a 7-footer, and then Tyler Bay, who might be playing a little out of position because they're forcing him to play so much guarding the 5 in there. But give me a thought or two about those two guys and the way they're developing.
I think Dallas is ahead of schedule, in my opinion. He's playing better than I expected. You know, he had a great game against Arizona, didn't miss a shot, 7 for 7. He's been a defensive guy who protects the rim with his length, and he's a shot blocker. Not consistent production on the point-wise or maybe rebound totals, but I think he's ahead of schedule. Lucas hasn't been playing well. You know, we'll be honest, he had a couple of good games, but sometimes he's overmatched physically. You know, he's guarding guys, like you say, that probably are not good matchups for him. But the Buffs need more from him. And because they don't have a lot of depth inside, you know, it's kind of a glaring empty thing right there sometimes when he's on the floor.
I'll say this about Dallas Walton, and I'll quote the great Bill McCartney. Something I didn't know about him, he's got a little fire in his belly, doesn't he? I mean, yeah. He's got a little fire when he plays.
Yeah, and when we talked to him after the Arizona game, you could tell how much it meant to him, you know, and it's important that it means a lot to you. And, you know, he has an interesting personality, Mark, you know, coming from a really a suburban Denver area, like you say, he's got a little more fire than you might expect from a guy like that.
How about Tyler Bay and the way he's developing, playing, like I said, out of position a little bit?
Yeah, and giving up a lot of weight, you know, and giving up size, but he held his own against some of the better big men in the league. And, you know, as another year and another 10 or, you know, whatever pounds he's going to gain, then we're going to see a lot more from him.
Last question here before we hear from Tad Boyle. Who's the best team in the Pac-12 right now?
Well, even though CU beat Arizona, I still say it's going to be Arizona in the end. The talent they have, I thought that the big kid, DeAndre Ayton, one of the most talented college players I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. But I think that USC has a lot of talent, but I just don't see them putting it all together like Arizona probably will.
That's my partner, Scott Wilkie, former Buffs great. It certainly was a disappointing loss for the Buffaloes Wednesday night at USC. Here was the head coach, Tad Boyle, after the game as he joined us on the Colorado Basketball Network.
Mark, I'm extremely disappointed, obviously, because I think this is a winnable game. We, you know, in the first half, we showed glimpses of things, and we, you know, we talked about it at halftime, the turnovers, and I mean, you don't have to look at anything else on this one other than that. I mean,
yep.
And then Metu on the offensive glass. I mean, he had five of them. He had three at halftime. And those two things cost us the game, and it's frustrating because we're capable of taking care of the ball. We've proven that.
Yep.
But, man, we're not going to beat anybody in this league turning it over 22 times. And against the zone, it's really, really frustrating.
Ted, when you turn the ball, there are times, we were just talking about this, where there are turnovers and are really bad turnovers. And against
yeah.
a team like this where they can run it out and they end up with a dunk or a layup in the other end, it's doubly damaging.
Yeah, those pick sixes, we call them, are just like, you know, they're killers on the road. And, you know, we had four of them in Oregon. I don't know how many we had tonight, but we had several. And those are hard to defend because there's no defense in the world that can do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, our guys know we tricked one off. What's frustrating to me, Mark, is I really don't mind getting beat, but I really despise beating ourselves. And I felt like tonight the Buffs beat themselves. And,
yeah.
you know, look, I gotta do a better job. I mean, our zone offense has to get better. And God darn, in practice it's awful good. But our game slippage when it comes to the game. And we did some good things against it, too. We really did. We did some good things against the zone, but you can't turn it over 22 times and expect to beat anybody. And, you know, the second half, we obviously didn't shoot the ball as well as we did in the first half. But, boy, really disappointing.
This turnover issue that we're talking about here,
yeah.
I just glanced at it real quickly here before you came out. This is the 10th time this season the Buffs have had 15 or more.
Yeah, you know? And I think it's 50 in our three league games. I'm not good at math. But
that sounds about right.
38 yeah. and 48, 50. It might be 60.
On the road, yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
Three,
in our three road games,
it'd be
60.
38 and 22, yeah, so you're 60. Yep. That's not a bad number.
Oh, I mean, that's why we're on three in a row.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't have to look. That's, you know, the good thing. Here's the good thing about the Buffs right now. The good thing is we know what our problem is.
yeah, yeah.
The bad thing is we haven't been able to fix it. Now, we better be able to fix it because guess what? UCLA's going to watch this film. They're going to play zone. You know, they play a 3-2 zone on Saturday, and we got to be ready to handle it. And so we got 2 days of practice to figure that out and to get better.
Ted, how about George King tonight? He came out and gave you 21
yeah.
points. I thought he had 10 rebounds. I've got 9 here in the box
yeah,
score, but
I thought
he was active.
He was active. He was. I really liked how he rebounded the ball and blocked some shots and altered some shots in there as well. So, you know, the other thing I got to say, Mark, is they had 10 block shots against us, which tells me that we're not making good decisions at the rim when we're penetrating because, you know, Metu had most of it. I mean, Derek Thornton, their guard, had four. And four block shots from a guard. I mean, we made some really, really bad decisions offensively, not just with our turnovers, but you add 10 block shots with that, okay, that's 32 times you have the ball and it doesn't get to the rim.
Right.
It doesn't even get to the rim. So we have no chance for an offensive rebound. We have no chance for a bucket because we give it to them 22 times and then they block 10 shots. Again, you're not going to beat anybody.
You're a golfer. That's leaving the putt short all the time, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, Metu, most of his blocks were like from the weak side. Like you say, he was in help positions.
Yeah, we knew that. You know, so you drive and you got it. We talk about making two-footed plays in the lane. And we made a lot of one-footed plays, especially in that first half.
Before we let you go here, you've got UCLA. He's got Utah tomorrow at their place, but you got to see the Bruins on Saturday.
We got to see the Bruins on Saturday. Yeah, I mean, we got to get better between now and then. I do want to say this. That was a very strategic timeout that Andy Enfield took at the end of the game.
I've gotten texts about that.
And I'm not going to forget about it. Yeah. Neither are our players.
Right.
So,
Coach, thank you very much.
Bye.
The Buffs do have a chance to bounce back tomorrow night, squaring off with UCLA at Poly Pavilion. Our coverage gets underway on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Tip-off is set for 8:30 on the Colorado Basketball Network and streaming live at CUBuffs.com. Now, on Thursday here in Los Angeles, following practice, I caught up with Buff senior George King following his 21-point performance against the Trojans. And, of course, we talked turnovers and who would win a foot race on the Buffs roster.
Yeah, too many turnovers. I mean, if we turn the ball like that, it's hard to beat anybody, especially a team in our league and especially a team that talented who really thrives off, you know, running in transition, who turns turnovers into points real fast. So last night we just didn't take care of the ball, and that's one of the main reasons why the game was what it was.
George, what's the difference, do you think? I mean, do you look at what the Buffs have done on the road as compared to at home, taking care of the basketball? That's 60 turnovers in three road games on the road to Pac-12. What changes when you guys go away from the Coors Event Center?
You know, obviously, I'm pointing out the obvious things. It's just really, you don't have a crowd behind you that's cheering for you. But that just means that we have to take care of the ball even more. I mean, we can't allow, you know, their fans who are, you know, maybe booing us or whatever. We can't allow that to affect us and allow that to affect the things that we do offensively.
What do you think this team learned about itself with the victories over number 4 Arizona State, number 14 Arizona last week?
I mean, we learned that we can play with anybody, and when we play with a lot of energy and we take care of the ball.
And you got to learn to, I guess, be more consistent then, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the main things as well, too.
Taking care of the ball, is it a mental thing when you have a high number of turnovers? Is it a physical thing? What do you think it falls on?
It's a little bit of both. I think mental, because you may be overthinking sometimes. I think a lot of our turnovers comes from when we think too much and we're thinking about, oh, should we play to make this play? And then we do the physical part and passing the ball and turning it over. So we need to do a better job of that.
21 points. George, in fact, had 5 3-pointers in that ball game against Southern Cal. You were kind of feeling it, weren't you? That ball was coming nice out here.
Yeah, I was feeling it. I love. Actually, SC is probably my favorite place to play in the Pac-12.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think I like the arena, their floor. I don't know. It's a good atmosphere.
Are there buildings that are good shooters' gyms?
Yes, absolutely. But you know what? If you're a shooter, it shouldn't matter what gym you're in. You know, all the rims are same. Circumference around and width. And you know, if you can shoot, you can shoot on any gym, any floor, any rim. So.
Hey, while we were watching practice here a while ago, we got talking. You guys were running a little bit. I got to thinking, who'd win a foot race on this team?
Probably besides myself.
See, I knew you were going to say yourself.
Or Josh Repon.
So I was thinking maybe De'Leon Brown.
Or Alex Straight. De'Leon Brown? No, he's probably one of the slower guys on the team.
Yeah, are you being serious right now? You're messing with
me. No, I'm being serious.
Yeah, so you think you'd win the foot race?
I mean, yeah, besides myself. But I don't want to be the cliche guy, so I just threw out maybe who will get second place.
So George thinks he is the fastest Buffalo. When we arrived here in Los Angeles on Tuesday night, the Buffs got a surprise visit from a guy that I would pick in a foot race for the Buffaloes, former Buff and first-round draft pick Derek White, whose San Antonio Spurs played the L.A. Lakers last night. D. White had dinner with his former teammates, spent time at the hotel with the Buffaloes, and he and I caught up and talked about his rookie season and how it's going in the NBA.
Yeah, things have been great. I'm just trying to enjoy the whole process, try to learn as much as I can. I'm enjoying everything, and it's been fun.
What do you think you've learned about that world? And it's no longer a game like it is in college, is it? I mean, it's a business.
Yeah, I got to become a professional, you know. I got to act professional and everything, and I just learned how to be a pro, and we have great vets on the team, so I just learned from them, and it's been a lot of fun and a lot of learning.
You know, I remember when you got drafted by San Antonio, I remember thinking at the time, for knowing the kind of character guy you are, there couldn't have been a better set of circumstances. What that organization, Greg Popovich, the veterans they've got in there, is it as businesslike, and are those guys as professional as they appear from the outside?
Yeah, definitely. Everything that you see is what you get. It's been great just learning from one of the best coaches ever. And we have great vets, and a lot of people around the Spurs are great support. So it's been a lot of people that have a hand to help.
You know, I think we always talk to high school guys about the transition to becoming a college player. I mean, the level of competition rises, but also you got to learn to go to class and take care of business. What's tougher? Is it the on-the-court stuff, or is it kind of the learning to become a professional like you're talking about off the court?
Yeah, it's tough on the court. I mean, you're playing against the best players in the world each and every day, so that's definitely difficult. But it's also tough off the court. I mean, now you have money. You have a lot of free time now. You don't have to go to school, don't have to go to class, any of that. So you just got to be adjusted and figure out what to do with your off time and put it to the best of your ability.
When you're out there on that court with the greatest athletes in the world, there are no nights off, are there? There are no bad players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, top to bottom, they're great players. And Coach always talks about we got to have appropriate fear of everybody. So just going out there and competing, that's really what I try to focus on and do what I do.
What is the biggest adjustment at playing at that level?
Probably just the size, speed, athleticism, just overall talent. Just everything is a step higher from college. And then you got, like, the best coaches in the world, the best training staff in the world. So it's just everything's the best, so you got to be at the top of your game.
Have you had a moment where you stepped down the court and thought to yourself, holy cow, I'm playing in the NBA? Or can you not allow yourself to think that way?
I mean, yeah, you definitely think that. I mean, that first time I was into the preseason, I was like, wow, this is an NBA court, NBA. And then the first time I was guarding, like, Kyrie or Russell Westbrook or James Harden, I was like, now this is the real deal. But you really just got to go out there and compete and know that you play in this game just like they are. Put the shoes on just like they do, so you got to go out there and compete.
It's got to be kind of fun. There are a number of guys that are buffs in the NBA. So you run into Andre, or you run into Spence, or I know you and Alec didn't cross over, but there are enough guys in the NBA where you get to run into one of your buff brothers every once in a while. It's got to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's great seeing the buffs and seeing them doing well. I mean, all three of those guys are having great years this year, so it's great when they come to town or I go there and I can sit down and talk to them for a little bit. It's great.
I know you're going to see Brooklyn here in a couple of weeks. Spence is playing pretty well. You're going to have to check him in the game?
Yeah, he's playing really well right now. I'll have to slow him down or something, but it's good to see him doing well, and I wish him the best.
Final question about the NBA. Greg Popovich, I mean, some people regard him as the greatest coach of all time. What do you think you've learned from him? What strikes you about playing for Pop?
He tells you how it is. He's straightforward. From top to bottom, he's going to coach you the same way. So if he's telling somebody that, he's going to tell you the same thing. So you just got to take it, what he says, and take it to heart and learn from it. It's been great.
So here we are in L.A. Buffs have got USC, and you're with the team here on this Tuesday night. Why was it important for you to come over and see the fellas and see the staff?
I wouldn't be where I am without this coaching staff, and they've always welcomed me and allowed me to sit around and hang out with them. So it's always fun to hang out with them. And then a lot of teammates and all the young guys, I mean, I'm supporting them, and it's all fun to hanging out with them.
What's been your assessment of a young fellow that plays the position you play in, McKinley Wright? What do you think of him?
He's special, especially those last two games. I watched those games, and the way he controlled the game and got the ball in the right spot, and he just competes. He competes offensively, defensively, so I think the sky's the limit with him, and I'm excited to see where his future goes.
All right, keep up the good work, and look forward to watching on the NBA court.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to catch up with Derek White as we wrap up the Insider this week. Want to give a congratulatory shout-out to Buffs legend and current CU administrator Seal Berry for being named one of 10 finalists for the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2018. I hope she makes it. Very well-deserved for Coach Berry. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.